So this morning, we're continuing in this series, and this is a series of Advent. We're in the season of Advent, and this is the fourth Sunday of Advent. This is the last of the Sundays in Advent. We began being drawn together by God, and then we moved to being reconciled, now we're at being responsive. And so I want to explore with you what this is about as we listen to the Word of God in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And this is a story many of us heard many times. So let's listen, see if we can hear in a new way how God is speaking to us, and paying attention to the challenge that Joseph has, the challenge of trying to pick out what is God up to, and what is it that he's going to do in light of what's happening to him and to Mary. Let's listen to these words. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took her as his wife. But he had no marital relations with her until she had born a son, and he named him Jesus. The Word of God. All right. So, I want to tell a story. I heard this at our deacon meeting. For those of you who are deacons, you've heard this already. It's going to be a very brief and an adaptation of that, and this is a story about a woman who was asked by some of the church leaders to be the director of the children's Christmas pageant, and she said yes. But the church leaders had not anticipated that when she said yes, what she meant was that, yes, I will be the director of the children's pageant forever. And so, sure enough, year after year, she led the pageant, and just with machine-like precision, she managed this pageant year after year, refining it, just narrowing it down to eliminate as many mistakes and as many risks as possible, even to the point of just narrowing the cast down to one sheep, one shepherd, one Magi, one Joseph, and one Mary. That's it. The fewer the children, the lower the risk. All right? That was her strategy. Now, if you're a child, I want you to hear, man, keep on plugging away. And now, so this went on for 25 years. And the young mothers revolted. They said to her, "Things have got to change." And this woman, her name was Lila, said in a moment that she probably later regretted, "If you guys think you're so hot, why don't you guys go ahead and do it?" And then the mother said, "All right." And they did. And Lila, secretly in the depths of her heart, come Christmas Eve, just a little twinge of her was hoping that they would fail. So there they were in the production. The sheep would Roman graves, not only, you know, in the place that you would think they might be, but being, they were told, act like sheep. And so they did. They roamed and grazed, and they went up in the aisles and out the doors and all around everywhere. And there were tons of them. There was a cast, it seemed like a cast of thousands. All right? Now, there were only about 50, but it felt like a thousand. And so Joseph and Mary are up front, and they're there, and they're doing their part, and they're right by the manger. And the narrator says, and behold, Mary was found to be pregnant. And Joseph, the little boy, his jaw just hit the floor. He said, what? Pregnant? At the rest of the pageant, you can guess how it went. There was not a dry here at the place. Not a dry high at the place. And you can imagine the real Joseph might have responded the same way. It just wasn't captured in Scripture, right? We don't know. But what we do have is a story. And the profound story of how Joseph is dealing with upheaval. And so I want to journey with me, if you would, this walk of a man who was living by the rules and with the rules, and of something happening where he moved somehow into living by the Spirit. And it wasn't easy. And it took time. And the Scripture tells that he had a dream. And then afterward he responded. But I'm guessing it took more than one dream. I'm guessing it took more than one conversation. I'm guessing it took more than one revelation. Because this is something on a massive scale from somebody who goes from saying, I'm a man of the law, to someone who takes action. So let's take a look at it then, this passage. I'm going to walk through it and we'll see what we find. It says, now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, that is, being a man who not only valued the law and valued what God had revealed to that point in terms of the Scripture and the Old Testament, but also behaved in ways that were right and good. So Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her, that is Mary, to public disgrace, he planned to dismiss her quietly. Now you have to understand, they were already married, but they were spending a year apart. After the year, then they would move in together, if they could afford it, into their own house. So they'd spend this year being married, but not living together. Okay, not like we do it, but that's how they do it. All right? So Joseph has made up his mind. This is weird. This is bizarre. And let's take a moment and listen to Joseph and see what he had to say about this journey from being guided by the rules to being guided by the Spirit. And maybe, in listening in, we might be moved on our own journey in ways we'd not thought possible before. So my name is Joseph. And when I found out that Mary, my wife, was pregnant, I did like the boy at the pageant. What? Now, Matthew doesn't record that, and I'm glad he doesn't, because that's where I was at then. But at the time, that was me. And I just did not know what to do with this. We'd been married only 5 days. And here already, in our marriage, we had our first fight. I don't know how long it took for you in your marriage, if you ever were married and are married now, but it took 5 days for us, and it was big. Now, there was a part of me that knew Mary, young girl. We've been married. I've been with her practically every day for these 5 days, and certainly in the days before. And now we get the news. And it's puzzling and confusing, and I have no idea what's going on. I was frustrated. I was upset because I didn't know how to deal with this. I couldn't even manage or wrap my hands around what was going on. All I knew was that if word got out, I would be in deep doo-doo all around town. So as I thought about this, and Matthew got it right, is he said, I'm a righteous man, and part of being righteous for me is recognizing that I make mistakes and I do things not always the way I should, but that I rely on God to overcome that. And being somebody who values that, there was only one thing I could do. So I thought, and that is, I've got to follow the law. That is our God. We've been following the law for years, hundreds, thousands of years. And so that's what I had to do. And the law said that if your spouse wants you married, if your spouse is pregnant and not by you, that you should divorce her. And I've got to do what the law tells me to do. And I wrestled with that, and I just struggled with that because, yeah, that's what I should do. But something, part of me was saying, I have no idea why. But something is telling me that's not all the answer. But being a logical carpenter that I am, knowing that you put the 2x4 on the 2x4 and you use a nail and wood and a screw and metal, that's what I would resolve to do. And this means that I would be able to just manage public opinion. Because you see, you know, if I just go ahead and divorce her quietly, then there won't be such a big outcry. And we won't be such a big deal around town, the couple with the child, even where they'd only been married 5 days. They'll either think that we had a child out of wedlock or that Mary'd been unfaithful. And either way was not a good outcome. And I wanted the best outcome. I wanted to have control over the outcome. I wanted to manage things so that things would be the best they could be. For me, for Mary, for all of us in town. And so I figured this out, and Matthew was right. He said, and as I considered this, and that's exactly what I did, I considered, calculated, weighed, managed, and controlled, and tried to manage this so that the best result would come about. Bad situation with us. Now, I'm a hard worker and I work every day building things for people in town, even in towns nearby. And I was really exhausted. And I took a nap on the Sabbath around 1 o'clock after lunch. And I must have been tired because I was asleep for 5 hours. And I was so tired that I had one of those dreams where I just was stock still. You know, you guys call it REM sleep, right? Well, that's what it was. And as I slept, I had a dream. And in the dream, an angel appeared before me and said, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For she is conceived, she will conceive and through the Holy Spirit a child and a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will save his people of their sins. Now, I've been hit. Here I thought I'd had everything managed, everything controlled, weighed out. I was doing the calculations and making everything work. And now I had to look at a whole different way. And it took me days to figure this out. And I couldn't even figure it out. But it wasn't that I had it figured out, but it was something that had hit me. And so I took action. On Monday night after work, I went over, as my custom was, to Mary's house and her parents. And we had dinner like we usually do out in the courtyard, this being during the summertime. And after dinner, I helped with the dishes. And then I whispered to Mary, "Mary, we gotta talk." And she smiled with her eyes, and she convinced her parents to go out for a walk so that we could talk. They knew we had stresses in our marriage, right? Huh? So we talk. And guys, I don't know if you're like me, is that when you have to have one of those talks, it's uncomfortable. And maybe for some of you ladies. But we had our talk. And I said, "Mary, I had a dream." And I told her about the dream. I said, "Mary, I'm going to take you as my wife. I'm not going to flake and flee like I thought I was going to do. But I'm going to be with you. I'm going to stay with you through it all. We might be the laughingstock of the town, but let's do it together." So we did. As I left the house that night and walked on my way back to my own folks' house down the street and across the way, a weight had been lifted from my shoulders. And even though being the joke of the town, I had no fear. I felt free. Even though there was all chaos breaking loose, I felt whole. Even though I couldn't manage anything going on, I couldn't calculate a thing. I was like a baby who'd never heard of addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. I just knew that I was no longer the leader. And the deliverer of the message was leading the way. Emmanuel, class.